Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Let me be singing when the evening comes, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. Manchester City were magnificent. Liverpool were back to winning ways. And there was another victory for Cardiff City. Happy Monday, everybody. All four of us are here, ready and primed, to give you our opinions and views on all manner of things and maybe some football chatter as well.
Yeah, squeeze some in.
I'm angry about Cardiff, and I want to get onto that soon.
Well, you're going to have to wait until...
Yeah, mugging me right off.
Very much not the headline here. Yeah. Of course, the headline is... Tom Heaton is back in contention for third choice England goalkeeper.
Yeah, Joe Hart seemed to think so as well from the bench.
Oh, Joey.
Portsmouth got a battling draw in the Dockyard Derby. Is that the headline?
We may well come on to that later.
Newcastle didn't play this weekend.
that's a highlight for you.
Neither did Fulham, so we won't be mentioning them.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Well, they didn't play. In the game. I wouldn't say they played.
I see. Jealous of a responsible owner.
If they keep this up, Fulham will be the toast of West London.
Well, I mean, West London, there's not too much good football at the moment coming out from there, Jim.
No.
Although Brentford might disagree with me. So let's start there, unless we any more to say about Tom Heaton and his magnificent performance?
I, I,
Shame it wasn't a
clean sheet. You're very much our Tom Heaton correspondent.
I can't even remember really who he is.
he gave us all a reminder on the weekend.
Was he in the Beautiful South?
Yeah, he might have been.
I don't know. Right, let's move on then to Manchester City 6, Chelsea 0. Oh,
I said I had a feeling about Chelsea, didn't I?
You did. And we all said
let's go no further into what I said.
That's very true. What a performance, though, from Mike Dean.
Penalty. That's going in the highlights reel forever, isn't
Mike
it?
Mike Dean had his moment. Look, the thing with Mike Dean there is he's had two moments in that game. One is the penalty, which everyone's pointed out.
One's post-game.
Which was a penalty, and one's post-game. Mm. That's absolutely fine.
Yeah.
I don't mind him grabbing the attention as long as it's not sending someone off for no reason or disallowing a goal for no reason.
But do you not think, I've said this before, do you not think Mike Dean is one of the better referees and that this is the world that we've created for ourselves?
Well, he clearly is one of the better referees because he's often given the big games.
Yeah.
I think he's one of the better ones, we
shouldn't be annoyed about him being a bit. I'm not annoyed.
No one's annoyed.
We're happy. All
right. Yeah, but everyone's a bit like, oh, look at this dickhead. He's like, he's good.
No.
It's like, you know, when you're watching a film and it's a good film and you know you've been looking forward to seeing it, you know what it's about, you sit down, you enjoy it.
Yep.
60 minutes in, you get a little unexpected Bill Murray cameo.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Warms the cockles.
Yeah,
that's like Mike Dean referring
to football. Who's the dentist out of Django Unchained?
I can't remember.
Christoph Waltz.
Yeah.
Like, you know what you're going to get for him.
Yeah.
He's an excellent actor, but you only ever play as one actor.
That's fine.
You only ever play as one
character. Yeah.
So you know what you're going to get, but you're still pleased he's there.
Yeah, but in the same
way. Mike Dean is Christoph Waltz crossed with Bill Murray.
Well, and I'd like to chuck in Iron Robin as well. You know what you're going to get. Not in time to shoot, but bloody hell, it's won him trophies.
Apart from the trophies bit, it's like the football ramble. You know what you're going to get. It's always the same.
They never knew they were going to get a mention of Bill Murray.
But Chelsea fans will be delighted that we've got this many minutes in and not talked about how bad they were.
It's a massive win for Manchester. It shows they mean business, Jim.
That first 10 minutes was exhilarating. Manchester City came out with such ferocity.
Will the game be remembered for that Aguero miss?
No.
Well, this is a funny thing of how football works, isn't it?
Well, last week I was saying he was so reliable.
He did go on to score a hat-trick, Peter.
But that is a good example of a footballer not being reliable. Yeah.
I love it. He's so...
Well, come on, though. That is a tap-in from like 2 yards out.
I feel he made up for it somewhat.
Yes,
I agree, but Pete is right to chastise.
Aguero is a human being. We've established it.
The coverage of football is such that if that game was 0-0, that Aguero miss is making it onto a load of those Twitter compilations. If Danny Baker was still doing his own goals and gaffes, it'd be on that. Because they won 6-0, and as Marcus rightly said, he's made up for it with a stellar hat-trick. Mm. And he hit the bar as well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That'll never be talked about again after this show.
Yeah.
We've mentioned it because we're diligent.
Exactly. If nothing else.
We tick all the boxes. Yeah.
But that's why you've got to look at everything in context, of course.
It was like Guardiola had said to his team, just try and win this in the first 10.
Mm.
Like they just absolutely flew
they
out.
They pretty much had to be fair.
Weirdly enough, the first couple of minutes, Chelsea looked okay. They did. They looked all right. They looked okay.
Well, at 4-0 in the WhatsApp group, I did say, maybe a draw might happen.
But you had a bet on a draw at 4-4. Yeah.
You were remembering Newcastle-Arsenal.
I replied on behalf of everyone saying you're an idiot.
Mm. on the Sky Sports app, when they're doing the minute-by-minute, when the third goal went in, the text they had said simply, Ross Barkley. Oh dear!
You have to say, other than the fact that I suppose he's picked Ross Barkley in that position and asked him to perform a role that, along with a lot of other players, they don't look comfortable with yet. You can't really blame the coach for that. I mean, that's basic. Mm. You don't want to be heading the ball. It's hard to really sort of work out what he was doing. If the ball's coming to you in that way and you're facing your own goal, head it out to the left or the right.
And also with Aguero lurking in the box, it's like going, I'm just going to leave my stake over here by this lion. Yeah, I'm sure everything will be fine.
Yeah, I've even seasoned it.
Can we blame Sarri for not shaking Pep Guardiola's hand?
Pep didn't seem to mind. And Pep was very classy afterwards. I thought this was a telling quote from him afterwards. He said, people don't understand how difficult the first year can be. People need time. Mm-hmm. It needs owners to really believe in it. The main reason I came to Manchester City is because I don't have to convince Chiki, who means Bajuristan. He knows me. And I think
that's a good point, that.
And I think it's interesting who said that, not just because he's the coach of the other team, but because someone else who's got a very distinctive playing style, and he's never going to change Guardiola. And the reason we don't question that is obviously because he's successful. People used to say about him, didn't they? Mm-hmm. Oh, has he got a plan B? And there was talk about him signing his Latin at Barcelona, etc. But the point I was going to make is just that the only thing you could sort of say in mitigation for Surrey and for Chelsea at the moment is just that they didn't lay the groundwork for him. They didn't even give him a proper pre-season because of all that stuff that went on with Conte. And so maybe there is an argument to say that he needs to be given time to get it going and to get people to understand it. But of course, the problem is there's actually a season happening at the same time. And if they keep losing games and they go out, drop out of Europe altogether.
Yeah, they finish sixth. Will he be there in the summer? And especially with N'Golo Kanté, who's played so well, is not playing. This, you know, a lot of chat about that position. And it seems so crazy
that they've got a cup final coming up.
Yeah, well, against Man City.
They've got a lot of heavy fixtures, haven't they?
Yeah, I mean, if they can win that cup final, and there is a chance. But it was their biggest ever defeat in the Premier League. It seems to be going bad to worse. You've been very critical of Sarri, Luke, and I understand that. And I understand why Guardiola's coming out, because Guardiola loved Sarri's Napoli side as well.
And you can see they're not playing the same as Napoli play. Look, no, if Sarri is the manager that we saw him with the football he achieved at Napoli, if he is that manager, then we are not seeing that at Chelsea, and we're not seeing anywhere near it.
He's probably not signed enough players for that system. That's the problem. Guardiola's given untold riches. He signs loads and loads of players, and if you've got the money, then of course he's going to do
but
that.
But they also prepared the ground for a long time beforehand. It was like the biggest open secret in football for ages.
Sure. Yeah. So from going from Antonio Conte with largely the same group of players to now Sarri's system, which is distinctly different, is very difficult. But Sarri isn't getting enough of a tune out of those players, quite clearly. And it was so, so evident. I mean, Manchester City, it was night and day. I mean, that's the kind of thing. I mean, the reverberations of that result will be felt in Liverpool. The way Guardiola set them out, it was kind of like, right, Liverpool think they've beaten Bournemouth 3-0. Oh, everything's all fine and dandy at home now. And they were good and they kind of blew them away. Let's go out and we'll show them that we are going to be breathing down their necks the whole time here. And, well, I mean, they're top of the league now, Manchester City, obviously, with the game in hand. But they were spectacularly good. And really, that shows you that they are, on their day, the best team in the league.
Well, Liverpool get their chance to have a go at Chelsea at their own ground in April, I think.
Yep.
I think they play at Anfield in April, so maybe they can better it.
But
the thing is, it's not like I don't want to give Man City credit, but I feel like watching that game, I didn't feel like they had to be that good.
No.
It felt to me that they crowd and hassle Jorginho, and a lot's been made of him so far this season. And perhaps
seems to be the thing to do. And
yeah, perhaps it's a little bit unfair on him because he can't be expected to do it all himself. And he's almost an ambassador for this Sarissimo type football. But also, just exploit the massive gaps that are left in midfield. And Jamie Redknapp made a point during the game. And of course, you know, Sarri's never going to do this, but he said, just tell Kanté to sit in there. Why aren't the players on the pitch saying, listen, it's 25 minutes in, we're 4-0 down. You come and sit in here with me and we'll just ride this out till half time. You know, let's just stem the flow. But it seems to be that in this particular system, the players have to buy into it to such a degree that it's almost like they become replicants and they can't think of it for themselves. And that could really harm them. And the reason it will harm them is because, you know, look, Scolari went in February in 2009. You know, VS Boas went in March 2012. Mm. There is precedent here for managers to be fired at this time of year at Chelsea in their first season. And if that happens, they've just set themselves back another 6, 7, 8 months.
What's Gus Hiddink currently doing?
Well, exactly.
I feel like Jose Mourinho has been fired from Chelsea this season. Do you know what I mean? It's such a sort of common thing. But I think you're right about that system as well. It looks like a lot of those players are having to play against their own instincts and having almost a sort of swim upstream in a kind of sporting sense. And It's fascinating to see what's going to happen because you see the quotes from Sarri about Abramovich.
Yeah.
He said, if the president calls, I'll be happy, seeing as I never hear from him. Which is not the best time, I think.
Spicy, sort of like, you know, spicy. Underhand
dig. He's got that reputation as being somebody who doesn't,
but I think so,
doesn't care what he says.
Sarri is clearly saying, oh yeah, if he calls, there's no problem. Like, in other words, I'm not worried about my job and so on. But perhaps
he said, I'm always at risk, didn't he? He said after that, I'm always at risk. Look, if they buy into the Sarri project and they buy into how Sarri's going to get them playing, because reports have to be believed. The reason that Sarri came in is because people at Chelsea, presumably Abramovich, because Emanuele went a while ago and they've got someone replacing him now, but presumably Abramovich is still making those types of decisions, and he fell in love with Sarri's Napoli. And for all Chelsea have achieved in the Abramovich era, they've never played football in the way that a beautiful way consistently.
Yeah. Which is what Abramovich has always wanted.
Exactly. And so if that is the case, maybe they'll just write the season off. Mm. Because and Guardiola was very classy to say what he said. And it's right, he's right to say that I didn't achieve what I wanted to achieve in my first season. It didn't quite go as well as I'd hoped, and it took a while. But Sarri isn't Guardiola. Guardiola's got a lot of trophies under his belt. And Guardiola, Man City would never look that bad as they did yesterday, and as bad as they did against Bournemouth. And at some point, I feel like maybe it makes me sound a bit like an old-fashioned like traditionalist, but at some point you feel like saying that we've all played football at a really low level, and sometimes it doesn't really matter what the tactics are. You just got to get in there. And I find it absolutely preposterous that really talented players will be like, well, yeah, you know, they're ghosting past us. They're getting chance after chance. We're 6-0 down, but, you know, we've got to stick to the system.
Yeah.
Think for yourselves.
I know.
Think for yourselves. You've got to implement
it. Guardiola said about his Barcelona side with that system, he was all about 60% system, 40% improvisation, and the player's own intelligence making that up.
Yeah, Rigo Sacchi said, I'm the director of this play, and you are the actors. It's up to you to interpret the role.
Exactly.
I'll give you the role, you interpret it.
Yeah.
That's an interesting way.
Speaking of which, Peter, what do you think of Benjamin Mendy fooling people into thinking he was in Hong Kong? Tagging his
you've
location.
Done no, yeah, no, you've done the opposite. You've not trick, told us you are in Hong Kong. Yeah.
Sorry, guys, can't do the ramble today.
They won't let me back again.
How did he manage to just kind of trick everyone?
He tagged on his location on Instagram. Is that what it was?
Oh, right, yeah. Hong Kong, right, okay.
Because it was announced in a press conference. People said to Pep, what do you think? Why is Mendy in Hong Kong? And he went, is he? He said he went to Paris and, oh, right, okay. But Guardiola didn't actually look that annoyed.
No.
It was as if to say, oh, well, yeah,
this is consistent.
Exactly. Yeah.
He should have every footballer's got an iPhone. Get him on Find My Friends. So you know exactly where they are at any moment.
Maybe he has. Maybe
and
that's why we're so
phones.
Calm.
Yeah.
Maybe Mendy's got a Samsung.
Yeah.
Over the last two seasons, including this, obviously this season and last season, he's only played 16 Premier League games. Old Mendy.
Yeah.
And only I think 13 of them have been starts.
He's always on the Mendy.
He is always, well, yeah, we're great, to believe he is.
Great for the dressing room, apparently. Mm. That was one of the reasons why they signed him. Obviously,
he's
quality.
He's got work on the brand. That's why he's out in the Far East.
Exactly, yeah. Well, he's not in the Far East.
Every time someone says that about great for the dressing room,
yeah.
I'm not making this up. I instantly think, well, Pete could do that.
Yeah.
Pete would be great for the dressing room.
Yeah, so he's sort of the Bez of the dressing room.
Yeah.
The Happy Mondays.
I've been sick in a bit, everyone. Ha ha.
Yeah. Look at my trousers.
Sergio Aguero did score a hat trick. We have to mention that. Still way off Dixie Dean's record, though, of 37 in the English top flight.
Oh. Somebody did a horrible Photoshop of Alan Shearer and him hugging and celebrating.
Ugh. Oh, I saw that.
Who does these things?
I think that was Bleacher Report. Yeah. Hang your head, Bleacher Report.
Yeah, they did a very Hugh Sterling one recently, didn't they?
Can I ask a possibly stupid question? So the Dixie Dean thing, which I wasn't aware of. I mean, I know he scored a lot of goals.
They matched though too, they mentioned it.
Right, I wasn't aware of the specific record. But so why on Sky Sports were they just talking about Shearer's? Is that the Premier League record?
Premier League record.
It's irrelevant. Top flight is top flight, right?
Yeah. Well, I think the argument perhaps for saying Premier League is because football these days is perhaps very different to football back in the day. That could maybe be an argument, but it is a shame. But this is the whole thing when people talk about the Premier League and the Premier League and the Premier League, whereas in the 1980s, someone could have scored 15 hat-tricks and that's forgotten about because a year or two later, the Premier League
arbitrarily, the Premier League started.
Do you know what the Photoshop I'd like to see is? I'd like to see Aguero like celebrating a goal on the pitch and then like a big picture of Alan Shearer in the clouds going, you'll do for me, son. You know?
It's normally Bobby Robson, isn't it?
It's Bobby Robson.
Not in the clouds, because that sort of suggests
Bill Shankly. Bill Shankly
going, suggests Shearer's dead, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, true.
Yeah, yeah, that's why it's funny.
Do it yourself.
You have to see the picture to make it.
Ask your dad to do it.
I'll ask Stewie to do it.
Yeah.
Ask Stewie D. Right.
Do you think by the time we record on Thursday, Sarri will still be in a job?
No, I do think so. Yeah, I'm not sure about the end of the season. I don't know if he'll be there next season, but I think he'll see it out to the end of the season.
To me, if he stays the end of the season, you might as well keep him next season. Mm. Then he gets a full pre-season.
No, I don't think so.
Give him the bloody players.
Well, find out what good sitting's doing, and then I'll get back to you.
Higuain hit a massive volley that could have gone in. Yeah. Could have turned the game.
So that's a start.
And my fortune's around.
Could have turned the game. Right, we're moving on to Liverpool. They beat Bournemouth 3-0. Jurgen Klopp was very pleased with his players' attitude and performance.
So
we should be. Liverpool look good. They look much better. They look much more relaxed. And we said this, Jim, didn't we, on Thursday, that Bournemouth, the way Bournemouth play, it's probably the perfect opponent for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And also, I feel like they look like the Liverpool of last season rather than the Liverpool we've seen so much this year, where they were actually just sort of, you know, just really just fluid it and just put everything into just getting the game wrapped up with a lot of goals. And that back heel from Firmino, that was absolutely
Gutierrez, would you call that?
Yeah, it was Gutierrez.
What do you think of Wijnaldum's performance?
Lovely
man of the
goal.
Match.
Lovely. He's been very, one of their best players this season.
And apparently he'd been ill and had barely slept as well, and he's still putting a performance like that.
And that's the kind of thing. They've missed him, though.
Yeah, they have missed him.
They missed that thrust.
A lot has been made of how important Wijnaldum has been to Liverpool's team. And obviously Liverpool fans will tell you that that's very obvious when you support the team. As Spurs fans said about Moussa Dembélé, of course, it's very, very sort of similar influence by all accounts. And yeah, he's great. He just keeps that midfield ticking over. And I think, you know, because the front three are so sort of devastating, that comes at with legwork going in elsewhere. Mm. And he is one of those players that does that. Because I think there's a perception about Wijnaldum, especially from when he joined Newcastle, actually, that he was more of an attacking forward than he actually is. He's more of a sort of, you know, safe pair of feet in that midfield.
In midfield, yeah. Sense. Maybe sort of a shuttler or a sort of... Yeah. Most midfielders these days are sort of box-to-box, aren't they? That's, I think, a lot you just ask
have,
unless
you just have a lot of energy, don't you, about yourself?
You do, yeah. but Wijnaldum certainly does, and they have missed him. They have missed him because Keita, you know, still adapting at times, Fabinho as well. Although, these are good players.
But both Keita and Fabinho have been good of late. Fabinho they had a very good game.
They have, yeah. But sometimes it's beneficial if someone knows their way around the league, just that little bit more. Good news for them, for Liverpool, was that Trent Alexander-Arnold came off the bench. So players coming back in at the right time, and it gives everybody a lift. And Salah and Mane scoring as well. Yeah. It was a great afternoon for Liverpool.
They needed a win like that. They needed a convincing win.
Yeah, and it's vital that front three keep scoring and putting in performances, because Liverpool need them at the races.
Definitely.
They face Bayern this week, and then it's a weekend off because it's FA Cup. So I depending on what happens against Bayern, but then I suppose even if they do get beat off Bayern, which I think actually I think Liverpool will win. You can say, okay, that's Champions League, so you can compartmentalise it that way. But it was a very important afternoon for Liverpool to just get the shackles off a bit and, as you say, relax into
definitely.
It. The only slight downer, if you can call it that, because they can't control what Man City do, was the fact that Man City thumped Chelsea so convincingly and their tails are up. But I find it interesting that if Liverpool had that 7-point cushion or whatever it was they could have achieved, I think they would get nervy and start to look over their shoulders. But actually, I think with Man City just slightly nudging ahead of them.
You said that on Thursday, Mark, because you think it suits them better to be chasing. I agree with you.
I mean, I don't think they would rest on their laurels at all if Man City started to fall away. But, you know, you've got this is what they need, isn't it? They need to fight for a title the whole way, because they've been chasing it for such a long time. Mm-hmm. It needs to be something that is where that pressure is on, in a sense. And it's of the utmost importance to just be at your best.
Sure. And we haven't really seen this.
No.
For, I mean, really, I don't know how long, because if you think about it, Manchester City going for the title, well, obviously the first one they won was crucial, and what an ending it was to the season. Manchester United, Arsenal, when they won titles, it wasn't that long ago. I'm talking in recent years. I'm not talking about the first one Ferguson won. I'm, you know, talking of the last 10, 15 years. The first one, the ones that they've won, or Arsenal at the turn of the century, they'd won titles not that long before.
Yeah.
So there wasn't this huge pressure. There's always pressure, but there wasn't a huge pressure. When Leicester won the league, well, it wasn't as if, oh my goodness, it's been so long since the glory days. It was kind of like everyone's going, oh my goodness, can we keep going?
Yeah.
And so with Liverpool, though, this is a side who feel that they are one of the biggest clubs in the country, because they are, and you could argue one of the biggest clubs in Europe, perhaps. This pressure that they have is a different type of pressure that I think we've seen from other sides going for the league title. It's a fascinating thing.
They are one of the biggest clubs in Europe, no question. Yeah. And going back to one of you guys mentioning the front three, I think two more goals and an assist at the weekend. Last year, they contributed 57 of Liverpool's 84 league goals at 67.8%. So they were heavily relying on them, as you'd expect. Mm-hmm. They're three forwards and they play well together. This season, it's 59 league goals Liverpool have scored so far, and 38 of them have come from that front three, which is 64.4. So, like a little drop off, but not really anything. It's probably a negligible.
Well, if Firmino would have put that one in at the end,
it would be up to stand it. So, and a lot of the narrative around the start of the season was like, oh, are they going to be able to keep it up? Can they do it? And maybe people have said, well, you know, Firmino's not looked great consistently this season, which is probably fair, actually. But he's got 9 league goals and he only got 15 last season. So he might even eclipse that if he carries on. So they're still contributing very, very well. We were saying at the start of the season that You know, you wonder whether teams have adjusted to someone like Salah and worked how to play against him. It's not looking like that now, is it?
No.
He scored 17 this season already. He may not reach 32, I think it was he got last year. He may not reach that. But they're still very, very important, obviously, to whether Liverpool do this or not. I agree with Marcus. I think them just on the shoulder of Man City all the way and see how much Man City can do it, because they won it last year. So see how... And to me, it always seems like it's much harder to defend it. It may well be that Man City might feel the pressure of Liverpool stick around.
Sure, but I mean, that's why I found the kind of the psychological edge of what happened against Chelsea so interesting. The way they came out, the way Guardiola's talking, the fans singing Championes. Mm. It's like, oi, do you just remember we're here and this is ours to win again? So
Liverpool go to Old Trafford next as well, by the way.
Of course, in a couple of weekends' time. All right, let's have a quick ad break and then we'll talk about Tottenham Hotspur. See you in a minute.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Daja Hao, Walshay Owen, let's have some fun.
Hung Ye Fat Choi.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for emails with PDD.
It is time for emails with me. How are you doing, guys? If you want to get to the show, as always, it's shutthefootballramble.com. We got an email from Passion.
Bad Bees!
Sorry?
Bad Bees!
Bad Bees! Bad Bees!
I've done it for you.
Did you want the Bad Bees?
Oh, I like it, yeah.
All right then. Well,
Bad Bees!
People keep moving things around.
I'm filling it in.
It's quite hard. Here it is. Say I'm the only bee
in your bonnet. Not the bees!
You've got mail.
Bad Bees!
Go on, Donny!
Pasha says, what's up, guys? This is Pasha Saberi. Just wanted to share the wonderfully named Finnish football club, Sexy Pants. Have we spoken about Sexy Pants before?
Have you searched this to make sure it's real?
No. God, no.
Is there really a Finnish side called Sexy Pants?
After promotion to the second division in 2011, I think I remember reading about this, to be fair. After promotion to the second division in 2011, Sexy Pants had been forced to change their names to the Tamer Pants so as not to fall foul of league rules restricting frivolous names at higher levels. Lol. Keep up the swell.
They are clubs that actually exist.
Mm.
I can see it, innit? I can see it on internet.
Hello to Andy Dixon. Who's got a very interesting way of spelling Dixon, D-I-X-S-O-N. I like that.
I mean, okay,
Dixon. After hearing the chat on the definition of the perfect hat-trick and how our European friends have different versions, it made me wonder if anyone had scored a single hat-trick in the Premier League that fits all three definitions. Left foot, right foot and header uninterrupted by other goals and all in one half.
Oh, that'd be big.
I thought anyone could just Google this and it wouldn't be worth writing it about, but I was wrong. It took me hours to find one.
Oh, well played.
Has he found one?
Well, Aguero, no. Two perfect hat-tricks against Newcastle, but one interrupted by Jacob Murphy and the other one by half-time.
Jacob
Murphy. That's all he's good for. As we all know, Harry Kane and Alan Shearer have loads of hat-tricks, but none of them are perfect by the UK, British, English, EU definition. I'll cut to the chase. Gabby Agbonlahor.
No. Yes, Marcus's best pal.
It. August 2008 against Man City. Right foot in the 69th, header in the 74th, and left foot in the 76th. So not only is it bloody perfect hell by all definitions, it was also really quick as well. I hope this find satisfies all of our Swedish friends.
It's incredible. And also, yeah, we should point out as well that since Gabby Agbonlahor's appearance, when you hired him to say hello to Marcus.
What, yeah. No, he did that of his own accord.
Yeah, he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
He enjoys his work, Marcus.
All right, yeah. But let's
add a drink.
Let's plonk that premise aside.
Marcus, there was a financial transaction, mate. We'll talk about it later.
Does he not consider me a friend?
No, I don't know about that.
Basically, since that happened, his fee's gone up.
$30 to $50.
$50.
Do you reckon it's like a market thing every time somebody goes and clicks on his increase thing?
How many people have asked Avram Grant for him to be on 1,000 Boys?
I feel
that's a name for a
I feel you should get
that's
a cut
very
of
much
that
not
increase,
his type.
Pete.
We well know that.
Pete, yeah, you should be getting there, getting your 15%, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
You've done more for his career
than he has.
Than fucking John Gregory.
To be fair, I think Agbonlahor. His agent's probably taking a cut anyway, to be honest.
But listen, I'll tell you what, I've heard that Gabby Agbonlahor will do that perfect hat trick in a Premier League game for you now for $100. So just hire him.
Scott Spivak. Mike Ashley is listening. Scott Spivak has got in touch. Hey, lads.
Sorry, Scott Spivak.
Spivak.
How are you not mentioning that
name? The Spiv.
I am mentioning this name.
No, but give it some love. It's a great name.
Exactly. Yeah. What's the Spiv saying?
It sounds like a product that you get on a
QVC. Come on, what's he saying?
Why are you always... Okay, right.
What's Spivino saying?
What's he selling?
Hey, lads.
The Spivak attack saying?
Hey, lads, to settle all of the debate about the true hat trick, my friends and I also always considered a true hat trick to be a goal, an assist and a yellow card. What? It shows a player's versatility.
That's what the Gordie Howe hat trick was, a goal and assist and a fight, wasn't it?
Yeah, is that right?
He played in the NHL for years, and that was his like we talked about this on the show years and years ago. So there are different types of hat tricks.
And finally, for now, Joe Lavelle has basically said that following the appearance of Mr. Soccer with Billy Sharp scoring against Norwich the other week, it's been announced that the actual Mick Foley will be a part of Grant Holt's wrestling event at Carrow Road.
Wow. Really?
Which is incredible.
Mick Foley's wrestling at Carrow Road. Pete, get yourself down there for WrestleMe.
He's been retired for a long time. I know he keeps coming back.
WrestleMe special.
He's a very old man.
Come on, Pete.
Get down there. Get yourself down
you
there,
love
pal.
Wrestling. Yeah.
He does.
I'll go down in a mask.
Is that
of
Peter?
Mankind. Yep. Showthefootballramble.com if you want to get Dutch.
Here we are. Spurs beat Leicester 3-1. Big win for Spurs, who are still in the title race, people.
Yep. They're just going about their business.
Still there. They will
winning,
not go
winning
away.
Winning ugly.
I feel, on this level, it's a bit of a weird season. And we've talked a lot about teams at the top of the table just picking up so many points that the table just feels really truncated. I mean, Spurs are in the middle of their best points total, I think, for 50 years. No one's really talking about it.
No trophies.
Yeah. The thing is, because they've built gradually, haven't they? It's been incremental steps where actually it's like, they're clearly having a good season, but it's not like this shock,
which is
to their credit.
Did I send you around on WhatsApp? I sent around WhatsApp to someone yesterday. I thought it was you guys. Maybe it wasn't. The table as it stood this time last year.
Right, yeah. Not your other WhatsApp groups who are apparently a part of.
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. Football Ramble 2.0?
Yeah. And the two big improving teams this season based on last year after 26 games, I think Chelsea won exactly the same points. Man United obviously dropped off. But it's Liverpool obviously, but Spurs as well.
Mm. Yeah.
They're both, so Spurs, despite what they have achieved over the last couple of years, they've gone again. Literally, they've done a Steven Gerrard. Mm. We go again.
Yeah.
I mean, if they get their best points total since whatever it is, 61 or whatever, I can't remember what it is, and still come third. I feel quite sorry for them.
I think, actually, you know, going back to what you were saying about Liverpool, Marcus, how it suits them to be chasing, I think what Spurs would need to happen would be for City and Liverpool to sort of get in each other's heads and mess it up.
Uh-huh.
And Spurs, I think they'd have to edge in the last couple of games
definitely,
for it to happen. But they're going about making that a possibility.
But they're the king, at the very least, they're looking like kingmakers now.
Because we say that about a lot of teams. Wolves apparently were touted as kingmakers the other week on this show.
It's a good word, isn't it?
It's a good word.
Yeah, it is.
I think I think Spurs actually are kingmakers emeritus because they go to Anfield, they go to the Etihad. Mm-hmm. They're going to be absolutely key games. Mm-hmm. If Spurs have got four really quite tough games to go,
they do.
Chelsea away, Arsenal at home, Liverpool away, Man City away,
and they've got Dortmund as well, which will. Dortmund
possibly tire them.
Running after Jadon Sancho will take it out of
truth.
Oh, I know Spurs have got quick players as well.
The Poch Master General should be saying to his team, if you win those four games, you'll be Premier League champions.
Yeah.
What the motivation
four
should be.
Four cup fights. Oh, no, because they can't win trophies. Four league games. They've got four league
games. They'll lose every single one of them. You know that.
Hugo Lloris with a big save against Jamie Vardy, who just came on. He did a Mitrovic.
Yeah, it was a weird one, wasn't it?
Don't do that. Unless it's Ronald Koeman. Don't have someone come on and take a penalty.
Can I say, I have no problem with it.
Really?
Yeah, I'll tell you why.
Let me
tell you why.
Tell me, bruv, Nick.
Madison's missed penalties this season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Vardy has scored his last seven in a row.
Did he?
And he is the team's penalty taker.
But then they should have learned from Mitrovic, though.
Does it not?
It's an easy start for you as you come on. Right? First thing you got to do is score a pen.
Yeah, but does it not kind of like you're only ever going to lose, really? Because you're expected to score.
Well, because he could score the goal, couldn't he?
You're expected to score, and then you're like, well, and the manager loses by bringing him on, and he does it. If he misses it, he loses a bit of confidence. I mean, he ended up scoring in the end, so well done him.
What do you mean he can only lose?
He can only lose.
What happens if he scores it?
If you score...
Well, no, he's just like, well, that was expected to happen.
No, I think whenever you score a goal, you always win when you score a goal, Peter.
Yeah.
You always win when you score a goal.
Yeah.
About an own goal. Oh, subversion.
It's very true. I've been done. Christian Eriksen was excellent, wasn't he? Wasn't he?
Provided that
corner routine was interesting, if you can call it a routine. Trippier cutting it way back,
yeah,
and then a lovely.
You can call it a routine.
Let's call it a routine.
Yeah,
a routine is only a routine if at the end you go routine.
Whoa! Yeah, true.
And also, if you get bored of the routine, you need to sing the We Three song. What do you mean? We need a break from the old routine.
Yes,
right.
Remember that one well.
Oh, lovely old job.
Would have been
91.
I was going to go earlier than that.
Would you?
I was going to say. Possibly no. Yeah, you're probably right. Yeah,
email
no
and tell us. We don't
about.
Have any
tune.
Tools to find out.
Tune.
But it was a great ball in a great header. Wonderful for Sanchez. Lovely old job.
Well, this is a game that hinged on some key moments, wasn't it? Because you had Spurs were 1-0 up.
Yep.
Then Leicester were given this penalty, which I thought was I've got no sympathy for a referee. Do you know what? Let me tell you something now. I've got no sympathy for a referee if from another angle that he can't have possibly seen.
It's
a pen.
Yeah,
I don't think he was sure it was a pen.
I think, but the problem
it can't have been from that angle.
It was a bit of pinball, wasn't it?
Exactly.
And it was a few slides and a bit.
Couple of chompies,
got away with that.
The last bit was like, yeah, probably.
Danny Rose came in and did the equivalent of walking at a dinner party and just throwing the table upside down by sliding from out of the shot at like 100 miles an hour and confusing everyone. And I think the referee had like a hard reset and gave a pen. From one angle, it did definitely look like one, but it was an angle the referee couldn't see. Of course, they then missed the penalty and Spurs got the other end score.
Yeah,
and
huge.
And then you think the game's done. Of course, then Vardy scores and whatever happens. But it hinged on a few key events. And, you know, again, if it wasn't for this mad season we're seeing, you think, do you know what? The way Spurs are getting through games these last 4 or 5 weeks.
Without two of their players.
It's latter stage Ferguson Man United.
Yeah, you think name on trophy.
Well, just ugly, winning ugly. That bit at the end where a Son went through, and he's probably not the quickest player when it comes to... they've got a couple of decent players at the back, Leicester, and you sort of go, oh, I thought he was genuinely going to get caught. But he is so money.
He doesn't struggle for pace.
He doesn't struggle for pace, but he's not the quickest player in the world. He doesn't use it as much as you would imagine. I think he's
like confusingly fast. You never think of him as being fast. Mm. You also never see him being linked. This is where I wonder whether the whole of football is just so like the forces that drive football forward off the pitch. Mm-hmm. You think, yeah, everyone's in there to make a pound note and all the rest of it. And the reason you think that is because no one ever links someone to move. So it must be to me, if you're a solid, loyal guy and you've got a decent agent and there are plenty of those around.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
You never get linked because you're happy where you are and you just get on with it. And Son, for all the quality he's shown and for all the important goals he's scored, he's got about nine goals in his last nine games at the top level.
Big game player, isn't he?
Big
as well.
Game player, never gets linked with the move away.
Just dependable. But I did think he was going to get caught. If it was another few yards, I thought he was going to get caught. But he just finished so well. Son.
I find Leicester an interesting side. Lost four of the last five every week. More pressure on Claude Puel. Yeah, they would have gone away from that feeling they should have got a result.
I have to say, I feel like I say this every week, I cannot see what Leicester City fans are complaining about so virulently.
But it's the results, isn't it?
Well, maybe, but they've had some hallmark positive results this season.
Yeah.
Half time in that game, and maybe Leicester fans are, well, that's the problem, we got beat. But half time in that game, I was looking forward to the second half.
Yeah.
Leicester are well in this. They played okay. It's 1-0. They've got a chance here. Mm-hmm. And of course, eventually Spurs get away with it. And they did get away with it because of those few minutes in the middle of the second half. I thought they looked okay. I thought Tielemans looked good.
Well, Dan's a good signing.
Yeah,
that's
a great end of the season. But he seems to have settled in straight away.
It would be frustrating being a Leicester fan because you think to yourselves, we should be, as we talk about the best of the rest, they should be getting results like Wolves are or something like that. Because when Leicester play against one of the big sides, you know they're not going to get hammered. Maybe they have done this season off the top of my head, I can't think. So forgive me if that's not true. But do you know what I mean? You think to yourselves, they can go and give Spurs, Chelsea, Man City, and the like, Liverpool, a good game, and which they have done. But yet, there seems to be something lacking. And I think it is they're not putting away the teams that they're clearly better than.
Well, I think, you know, last five or six games, they've been beaten by Newport, of course, which isn't great. They narrowly lost to Wolves. They were beaten at home by Southampton. But then at the same time, they narrowly were beaten by Man United. That game yesterday, they weren't bad. They drew against Liverpool. And then, you know, over Christmas, I mean, they drew with Man City in the cup and they beat Chelsea and then beat Man City in the league. So they are capable.
Well, kingmakers.
King power makers.
But I think, though, one of the things I find absolutely fascinating about Leicester, if you go back all the way to when they first got promoted, when they played that incredible football that they then replicated a couple of years later under Nigel Pearson to get promoted, then they had the great escape, then they won the league, then they were in the Champions League, while sort of also
bored, you know, of this
dicing with a relegation battle. That's it. It's never boring at Leicester until now when it is.
True.
And maybe they're just like, no, this means the party's over.
I think we should ask a Leicester City fan to email in to show@thefootballramble.com. Pete will read the email out. Give us a very comprehensive missive about why you don't like Claude Puel and you're not happy at Leicester.
Indeed. I mean, that may not be the case for all of them, though. Perhaps that is a broad generalisation. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Cardiff City, Peter, you want to talk about them? They beat Southampton. A big, big win. Big win. Big wins.
Raph McWinney style.
Raph Hasenhüttl said it was stupid that his side conceded so late on. He was very annoyed with his side. He said, we have rolled a big stone in our way now.
Roll away your stone, I'll roll away mine.
Bit of Mumford and Sons. Still find them.
Angry words from the governor.
Which sounds like a Roman centurion, doesn't it? In biblical times, rolling a stone in the way. But yes, they have to work on it to remove it mentally and physically. He says we have 2 weeks with no game. So for the next 2 weeks, the result is in our mind. Well, get it out of there, Raph.
Yeah.
It's your job. Mm. Or Ralph, should I say. It's the most horrible situation you could imagine. It's a disaster. Now, if you're a Southampton player, you don't want your manager saying that.
Well, I mean, he sort of says that, oh, I'm annoyed that we conceded so late. I mean, you scored really late as well.
He should still be annoyed, shouldn't he, Peter?
So that's a positive, but coming on and scoring a penalty.
So he should say, well, we scored late, therefore we conceded late. That's
exactly.
It was only fair.
Score earlier.
Is that what you've been waiting
to say? We enjoyed it, and we thought they should have a chance to enjoy it. Can I just say, if Southampton fans are listening, and I know there's definitely at least one, if you're wondering what a perfect result for Southampton in the mind of a Portsmouth fan looks like, I mean, this is pretty much it. At home against a relegation rival.
Yep.
Equalising the 91st minute. Conceding the 93rd minute. Yep. No game for 2 weeks.
Manager says it's a disaster.
Yeah. And that's why you've got the tattoo.
Finished the weekend in the relegation zone.
Well, what an end to the match, though. It was Southampton were putting on the pressure. You know, there was saves from the keeper, there was goal line clearances and all the rest of it. They eventually scored and then Cardiff go up the other end. I mean, that goal as well, you think to yourself, Southampton, get it out of there. You've got chances to clear. Jack Stevens, who scored the goal, makes a piss poor pass, which is intercepted and
triple
so on
P's.
And so forth. What I loved though is it was such a catalogue of errors and funny moments. And even Zahor, who scored, when he scored, it was a bit of a, I'm not a pee roller, but it wasn't a hit very hard. No. It squirmed into the corner and he took his shirt off to celebrate and he was exhausted.
Yeah.
He went over and he's like, Oh, go on, Bennett. And then Bamba comes bouncing in, absolutely mad.
Oh, Bamba's goal was my moment of the weekend. Ghosting at the back post,
yeah.
Finishing, and then celebrating with the fans.
And then he made a mistake for the Southampton goal. He let it go across his body.
Yeah, true.
There was so many moments in that game, but Neil Warnock wins. That's the takeaway.
Flawless victory.
I mean, it's always about this time, though. If a side down there, an unfancied side, start to make a little bit of a surge for safety... Could it be Cardiff? It would be a remarkable achievement if he did it. Yeah. Fulham have spent big. They look nearly as doomed as Huddersfield at the moment. Even though Huddersfield are showing a bit of fight, but it looks far too little too late. Southampton, Hasenhüttl is very worried that they're going to get dragged in. Newcastle are down there, but we think they'll be okay because of Rafa. Cardiff, they could do. Burnley a pick. I mean, they got a great win, Burnley. But
Burnley are showing a bit. I think you'd have to have a heart of stone not to enjoy Cardiff staying in the Premier League after what's happened at the club.
Of course.
But it's a great win for them. Look, if you go away from home against a relegation rival and score a 93rd minute winner, I mean, it's what dreams are made of.
It really is.
And Warnock is such a manager who is adept at tapping into that kind of feeling, and he will make the absolute. He'll make hay with that.
Yep.
And
that's what Hasenhüttl knows. Hasenhüttl's thinking
it's a big blow.
It's such a blow for so many reasons.
But unfortunately, I mean, when Southampton are relegated, they're not going to be playing in the same division as Portsmouth next year, now, are they?
Well, we'll come on to that.
Just set fire to our season two.
All right,
Southampton,
let's
don't
go for a
it.
Quick ad break, and after which we're going to talk about the Championship. See you in a minute.
When I switched, there was cameras everywhere. Flash, flash, flash. Mate, it was amazing.
So is this the Football Ramble. Welcome back, everybody. The preview show, sponsored by Bet365, will be dished up on Thursday. Our best better.
Yeah, Pete let us all down.
Mm-hmm.
It's your fault, Pete.
Why did I?
Because you don't want Andros Townsend to score goals.
No.
And so he didn't. No. And so it's on you.
Ha, ha, ha.
It's a great shame.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, we need a
charity.
New one.
Ha, ha.
Sorry, I was just going to say, shirtthefootballramble.com with best bet in the title for a new better. We're on a bit of a barren run, guys.
Yeah.
So if you're listening and you've not made a contribution, step up.
Hang your head up.
Don't bother tweeting us.
Yeah.
Saying it's rubbish.
You'll get chippy.
Step up.
Yeah.
Also, don't offer games that aren't in the Premier League.
Yeah, true. That's true, actually.
Sometimes do.
If you've got a device to tweet us about it, you can email us suggesting a best bet of your own.
Yeah.
Shirtthefootballramble.com with best bet in the title, and we'll pick a new one on Thursday.
Speaking of missed chances, all Palace, my goodness. But we've moved on from the Premier League. It's now Championship time. The Old Farm.
Why bring it up then?
Derby.
Things in my mind.
Indeed, yeah. But it was a good 3 points for Arsenal. Norwich beat Ipswich 3-0. They're top of the league.
Yeah.
The top of the league with another win over their local rivals.
It's miserable.
Might be the last one for a while, eh? The Old Farm Derby.
This is a brilliant game. There's so much going on.
It's obviously a little bit miserable at the moment being a Huddersfield Town fan, but at least they can say, do you know what? They're not down yet, of course, but if they do go down, it's looking likely. You know what? To see our side in the Premier League, you know, there's a consolation there. And one or two other things. Is it more... I think it could be the most miserable time for any football fan if you're an Ipswich Town fan. I don't...
Even Macclesfield have got... I've got Big Soul now.
Exactly,
Notts County are having a terrible time.
Oh, they are.
Let's spare a thought for them as well.
True, but I think it's a context of Ipswich are 9 points from safety and have not beaten Norwich for 10 years.
At Norwich, top of the league.
Yeah.
And really rubbing it in.
Yes.
Gleefully.
There was a lot to enjoy in this game.
At least Paul Lambert got stuck in, though.
Oh, God. Oh,
big time. The commentator accused him of words of a non-pacifist nature.
Is that right? Wow. Well, Daniel Fark said after the match, Fark looks like something like a Street Fighter.
Yeah,
I find a bit. He could be a bit tasty. He says, "My feeling is you can lose a game but show a bit of class." I think 95% of Ipswich's staff did this, but not all of them. 95%. I'd say that's not a bad rate.
He did also make the point that Paul Lambert is still a hero in Germany.
He did. Well, Paul Lambert said, "I saw one of them lads come in. Am I supposed to stand back and watch one of my lads get bullied? I'm not going to do that."
What Daniel Farke looks like to me? He looks like the evolution of a Pokemon from Klopp through to Wagner through to Farke.
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Norwich are having a lovely old time, aren't they?
I think Ipswich defensively are quite poor.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Back that up with evidence.
I'll give you just a smidgen of evidence.
Okay.
We haven't got all day for all the evidence. the prosecution must rest at some point. I think it was 4 minutes in against Norwich. They conceded their first goal.
Yeah.
in a derby game. Uh-huh. Fans probably been looking forward to it all season. But you know, fans get up for that regardless. Mm. And the amount of space in the penalty area for the Norwich forwards 4 minutes into a game.
Yeah.
There's not really an excuse for
that. No comeback from
that. If you are a defensive unit and you've battled it for a 0-0 and they're a better team than you and it's 10 minutes to go and they've just brought on Adama Traore or someone else who's really fast. Yeah. I know Adama Traore doesn't play for them, but it's an example. Uh-huh.
Mark Overmars.
Steve Cram.
Steve
Sonic
Cram.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yeah, all of them. I mean, that's... You can't have four substitutions. So
it's getting silly.
Yeah.
Concord.
Extra time, of course. Mm. Yeah, they brought on Concord, right? And it's taken up the entire pitch, okay? And it's churning it up. And you can't even keep up with it. But even if you could keep up with it, you don't want to get sucked into one of the jet engines.
Lambert jumps on and says, if my players are going to get bullied by Concord, I'm not having that.
And the Concord is so fast that, like when it used to go to New York, it arrives before it left.
Yeah. With Phil Collins on board.
Uses the nose cone to power a header into the bottom corner. I'll say, do you know what? Fair enough.
You've got to be asking questions at defence.
Can I just make it absolutely clear to everyone listening at home?
Concord was not in the starting
lineup.
None
of that happened.
They were
playing against human beings in the first few minutes.
They did concede early though, so that did happen. But yes, very, very piss poor Ipswich.
Team of Pookie looks a great player though.
He does look.
Didn't do much at Celtic. And they signed him from Bromby after a good season or two, and now he looks brilliant. He looks such a good Championship striker.
He does indeed. Well, Norwich are top, of course, because Leeds drew 1-1 with Middlesbrough. Now the good news is Jack Clark has been released from hospital after taking ill during the match after he was subbed off. He was quite a worrying scene. He was stretched off. He's been given oxygen, but he's okay. But that delayed the match by about 10-15 minutes. So Leeds' equaliser was actually scored in the 11th minute of injury time.
First minute.
Yeah, crazy.
I always sort of think like with kids are like they're 18 years old for crying out loud. Mm. Like, I was quite ill when I was like 18. We're like
I'm not a great sample study,
but like you are still growing at that point. So like there's chemicals floating around your body. It's not an idea. I remember
you did eat chocolate mice for dinner.
I used to eat frozen sausages.
I remember sort of like going to university. I was in and out of hospital. They thought I had meningitis, I had lumbar punctures, all kinds of stuff. It was crazy.
Yeah.
I'm all right now, guys.
Sausages?
Okay. I mean, could have been frozen sausage related.
Is any of this relevant to Jack Clark?
Well, he's just very young and teenagers.
You are not a medical practitioner.
I completely forgot why we were talking about this. I was fascinated.
I feel that a young prospect at Leeds who's probably.
Why don't I have fingernails? Why did they fall off?
Just because you spent a lot of time in hospital doesn't make you a doctor.
No.
We have to make that clear.
Or a promising young professional footballer.
Yeah, I appreciate you trying to wrestle it back, but I want to know more about the frozen sausage thing. Like, why did you do that?
He used to just eat outside, sit next to his freezer when he was a kid, and just eat the sausages straight out of the freezer.
Well, that was when I was about
secret.
That was when I was about 11. Well, I didn't announce it. Twitter didn't exist. Hey guys, just eating a frozen sausage. Hashtag sausage.
Did your parents know that you were in hospital all the time because you were maybe
eating
frozen
sausages? Where are the sausages gone?
That's not why I was in hospital.
Wow,
right,
okay. Wasn't
that was
it
later
though?
On.
Wasn't it though?
You can't get meningitis from frozen sausages. I am a medical practitioner.
Please.
So you're going over to the fridge going, oh, I'll have myself a meat ice, Paul.
Yeah.
And
that was when I was a younger boy.
Oh, why do you two hate each other?
If anybody is listening,
but can I just say,
please do not eat frozen sausages.
To be semi serious, the club have said that Jack Clark's going to undergo some further tests and he won't train for the rest of the week, but apparently he seems much better. So he's an 18-year-old kid. I think there is
at the time of recording, we should state for the record that it's all's well there.
But I think there is a little bit of truth in what Pete was saying is that, you know, we have seen, I can't remember which team he played for, but there was a teenager a few years ago who kept vomiting before he came on because he kept drinking so much water because he was so nervous and it took him a while to work out that was what was happening.
Yeah.
So it could be a number of different things. I have to say, just going back to matters on the pitch, Marcus, I don't know if you saw this. Yes. Randolph in the Middlesbrough goal made an amazing double save at 1-0, and I felt really sorry for him when they equalised.
Because he's a slightly underrated keeper.
He's always looked decent at
home in the Premier League. Well, we've seen him, I think, in the Premier League before.
Keepers are funny like that, aren't they? Because they can make the step up. It feels.
Well, that's right.
It's not as big a.
Well, I think someone mentioned Joe Hart earlier. I think Joe Hart, if I was him and his agent, he's not the number one at Burnley and might not even be the number two if they get all
Pope.
The keepers. Yeah, Pope's there. I go to a sort of a decent established Championship side, like a Derby or a Middlesbrough.
The money would
like
be pretty much the same.
Exactly,
just be a jobber, just float around the Championship, get people promoted.
Or go to China. But a vital equaliser for the Leeds nonetheless, because that would have been a bit of a damning result, and Norwich going top of the league, and we know what Leeds are, the results haven't been good of late. So away to a side who don't concede many goals at all, unless
Sheffield United are almost top of the league for a couple of
hours. My goodness, what a comeback from Villa! Incredible. I mean, Sheffield United 3-0 up. Billy Sharp scored his hat trick. He's scored 101 goals now for Sheffield United. Yeah. He just turned 33 as well. Yeah. They would have gone top of the league, albeit temporarily, but they would have been in there. But to concede on the 82nd, 86th, and 94th, gutting for Sheffield United.
I was on the road at the time, and sometimes we carry the post-match interview. And do you remember when Sheffield United were knocked out of the cup and Wilder was absolutely fuming? Yeah. He said, we were fifth best today.
Yeah, that's right.
The players were booed off and I felt like joining the fans and they deserved it. Yeah. And I thought we were going to hear Wilder go crazy, but I didn't actually get a chance to catch the post-match interview, so I'm not sure what he said. But I presume, given that Aston Villa were being booed at the time when they were 3-0 down, I presume Dean Smith was absolutely loving it.
Yeah.
But it was a crazy game. At that point, Sheffield United were top of the league because obviously they played Friday night.
Well, they're cruising. 3-0 up and cruising.
And I was saying, what a testament to the job Chris Wilder's done there. Yeah. I mean, he was brilliant in his previous job as well. But they're still amongst it. Only
they
5 points
are,
off the
but
top.
But it is really gutting for just
it's going to hold their momentum, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was nearly the same at QPR. They were 4-0 down on McLaren's men against Birmingham City. Che Adams scored a hat-trick for Birmingham. Amazing QPR stages an amazing comeback. They scored just before half-time, got a couple, and then they missed a penalty in injury time. Yeah. It was saved by Lee Kerr.
It was such a bad penalty.
But they haven't got themselves into that position. Yeah. Oh, I'm gutting.
I was at Loftus Road a week ago and...
talking about Portsmouth?
Yeah, QPR were terrible against Portsmouth. They beat them. They didn't need to be any good. And then I saw them 4-0 down at home and I was thinking, how bad are Portsmouth?
Portsmouth are throwing away the automatic promotion.
Yeah. They have. But can I just say, Che Adams is a really good player. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that him staying in January has saved Birmingham's season, because they're on a bit of a march and they've got a chance of forcing their way into the playoffs, of course. Jukovic has weighed in with a few goals, but really no one else scores in great number apart from him.
Yeah.
And if you look at the goals that made up his hat-trick in that game against QPR, one's from distance into the bottom corner, one he runs off the shoulder from the other side of the pitch and scores. The third one's a poacher's sort of rebound. He scores different types of goals. He looks like a real player. He's only 22 as well, and they got him for a couple of million. Yeah. So he's an absolute. We've seen strikers in the Championship go for big money. People like Scott Hogan and all the rest of it. So a really, really good player. I think he's got a bright future. I really do.
Yeah. Portsmouth are throwing it away.
Terrible, yeah. I don't want to talk about it.
Did you see
Luton and Barnsley are on the march? They're on the march.
Paul Scholes, another one from the class of 92 line to go into coaching. It's probably a resounding success.
Did you see that outrageous piece of skill from that Plymouth player?
Oh, my goodness.
I can't even work out what he did.
The Irish guy.
You sure it was deliberate then?
It was 100% deliberate.
It was sensationally good.
Yeah, he's running down the left wing.
It was Ronaldinho-esque.
We'll share the video on our Twitter for those who haven't seen it at Football Ramble, but he's running down the left wing. He lets the ball go behind him and he flicks it. Oh, it's just impossible to describe. Mm. Yeah, Pompey are having a mare. They're setting fire to their season. They're probably going to finish about 12th.
And now it's time for the WhatsApp group.
Well, I've pressed the button. It's just not working, is it?
And now it's time for the WhatsApp group.
Da-da-da-da-da-da. WhatsApp group. It's time for the WhatsApp group. It's what we've been talking about this week on the line.
finish your rap.
That was good.
Yeah,
great.
Really good.
Much like your dinner, finish your rap.
Okay. And that's the truth.
There we go. Now we can begin, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the WhatsApp group, where you will find nothing but the truth. Yeah. Andy van der Meijden has got his own YouTube channel. Have you seen this?
Why has he done that?
YouTube channel.
Why has he done that?
Because why not?
Why has he done that?
He retired at 29, didn't he? Andy van der Meijden had a lot of problems, so he's probably just effectively trying to sort of
talk about
the positive way to channel his time.
But the reason, I mean, I'm supportive of whatever people want to do, especially when they use it to slag off Big Sam Allardyce.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. So there's a chat on him. He's driving his car and Patrick Van Aanholt discussing playing under Big Sam Allardyce. Interesting few quotes. He just comes out a day before the match. 2 days you only see him are on Thursday and Friday. On Saturday when we have a game. From Sunday till Wednesday, he's in Dubai.
I love that. But I love it. You only see him on like Thursdays and Fridays or whatever. It's like he's this creature that emerges from the woods.
That's enough, though, isn't it, really?
Yeah. At Blackburn, he did a tactical training. Long balls from the back. We had a tall striker named Samba. Long balls and headers. This was his idea of tactical training. I thought, what the hell is this? You got Dutch players, young, learning to play out from the back of the Johan Cruyff way. But to be fair,
take all your tactics. I think I put them in the bin.
I think I forget which one it was who said it, Van Aanholt or Van der Meijden himself. But he said, but he doesn't, talking about Big Sam, he does know exactly what to do to win. Sometimes he amazes me. Sometimes he says, play the ball into the channel, and if we do it, we lose. Or sorry, if we don't do it, we lose. And when he says, you see, you don't listen to me, and if we do what he says, we win. Crazy. So, I mean, presumably Van Aanholt was there at Palace, was he, when Sam Allardyce got them
out? Think he said that because he's like, well, look at the profile of player I am. Could end up working under Big Sam again. So probably going to throw in a little compliment as well.
It's a great little interview, actually, or a little chat they have about him, because they do sort of make fun of him at one point, but on the other hand, they're saying
he's a magician.
But they're basically saying it works. It's crazy, and I think one of them says he makes you feel really good about yourself as well. He's a good man manager, and an interview I think with Dusan Tadic. There's another one on there, and he makes the comment about long balls, and I think Tadic mainly, because Tadic is quite a cultured player, obviously playing at Ajax. He says, yeah, your neck gets stiff looking at all the long balls or something like that.
I think you've got to be a certain profile of player to enjoy playing under him, and I think that's why, or one of the few reasons why this nonsense about him becoming Arsenal manager or Man United manager just wouldn't work. But it's funny, I wonder if players are, a lot of them are so naive that they think managers, because they're older and wear a tie, can see into the future or whatever. Because you said this about Mourinho when he first started out.
No, it's a very different...
Clearly he's a different manager and it's a different principle. Sorry, it's a different...
I think it was
situation.
Vitor Baier who said
Vitor Baier said when Mourinho... He was so...
Yeah, but it's totally different, though, because Vitor Baier... I mean, Allardyce is saying, play it into the channels, and if you don't do that, we'll lose. Whereas Mourinho is saying... This is what's happening. It was Porto versus, I think, Benfica. And Mourinho said, right, this is how we're going to set up. We will go 1-0 in front. The referee will bottle it and he'll send one of our players off. So when we go down to 10 men, this is how we'll then see out the game. And all that happened.
All I'm saying is we haven't seen the full video.
All right.
And Big Sam is known for doing all his research and getting all his numbers and doing that kind of thing.
He's known for winning Champions
League.
Oi. If Palace made it out of that relegation battle, it was nought to do with him. I'm quoting what he said about Rafa Benitez in the Champions League final. It was nought to do with him, Jim.
Their stocks, Mourinho and Allardyce, his stocks at similar level now, though.
What do you think? Head coach, second in command, maybe?
Yes. Definitely.
Like to see that.
Allardyce head coach.
Translator.
Yeah. Well, Allardyce.
No.
Right, I think we need to get out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you, and best of luck to all Chelsea fans. I feel very sorry for you. It'll get better before it gets worse.
Say something about the Ipswich fans, Pete Donaldson.
Have a sausage.
Jim, say something about the Arsenal fans.
Hi.
There we are. Thanks very much. We'll see you on Wednesday. Thursday!
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.